Mark chapter number 11. We've been teaching on a number of Sundays and services, actually Wednesday nights also, in the last few months, on the authority of the believer. And we want to get into some of that tonight, particularly how what you say carries significance. And because the reason for that is because you have authority. You're turning to Mark 11, but Mark, not Mark, but 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, there are many voices in the world, and none of them without, King James says, signification. It means significance. Yeah. What does it mean, many voices? Well, we know what that means. The natural world, there's many voices. Yeah. I mean, you can go on whatever social media place and find all kinds of people saying all kinds of things. Yes. And they're all under all kinds of different influences. Yes. Speaking from their own thinking, speaking from what other people think, you know. They're just a lot of different influence. And then in the spirit realm, there's many voices. There are a lot of spirit beings. Of course, God is a spirit. He can talk. Holy Spirit is a spirit. He can talk. Jesus is in the spirit realm. He can talk. And then there are demons. And there's many voices in the demonic realm. And the devil will bring thoughts to your mind and speak to a person's mind and bring, and that is a voice. I've seen people listen to those voices and go completely crazy, lose their mind. I could tell you stories of people that left the church in a huff, mad because we didn't receive their prophecy correcting us all. And, drove and ran out of gas in another state, went into a grocery store, jumped on a guy and got arrested because they lost their mind. They were listening to this voice and lost their mind. Amen. I don't tell every story of everything that happens. But there's a lot of voices and people talk out of listening to those voices. And what does it mean? None of them is without significance. That just simply means they all are saying something, and their purpose in saying something, they have something they're pushing. The voices out there are pushing something. I have some opinions about politics and so forth, but we're not called to push politics. We're in the kingdom of God. We're pushing the kingdom of God. That's our assignment. Of course, there's, you know, somebody said, well, which party's right? Well, I'll tell you which party's right. Whoever's right. What mean right in line with righteousness? What's righteous and what's not right? That's what we stand. We stand for righteousness. And if it's the party of the first Martians, but they're righteous, then we need to stand for the first Martian party. You know what I'm talking about? So, but anyway, there's a lot of voices, and people get caught up with voices, and they get under the influence of what that voice is pushing, and they start talking what that voice is pushing. You know, you can tell what people are listening to by what they say. When you sit down at the dinner table, is it hard to talk with them about the word, or do they want to talk about something else? You know, anyway, that's all free. I won't charge you. But those voices have significance, meaning there's a reason they're pushing something. And when you listen to what they're saying and start saying what they're saying, then that has significance in your life. That will start taking your life in a direction. So, Mark 11:23. Anybody ever read Mark 11:23? Jesus is talking. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, let's just shorten it. Whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The illustration. We just took out the illustration. That's not doing any injustice to the biblical principle Jesus was teaching. Believing it and saying it will cause you to have it. Why? Why? Somebody said, because faith is, God's a faith God. True, but why don't you have it? Because God said it. Come on. Somebody said, look around. People have different things. All believers don't have everything God said. Why not? Because it's not him saying it. that causes it to work in your life. It's you saying it that causes it to work in your life. Amen? Now, why is that? Somebody said to get to the root of it. Why is that? Because you're in authority.
That's right.
You're in authority. Your words carry significance because your words carry authority. Now I'm talking about in your life. Your words might not have authority in somebody else's life. Now you ought to rejoice about that. Because when people say curse words to you and damn you, condemn you, cursing, those words don't have to have any effect in your life. Aren't you glad what other people say is not as significant in your life as what you say? Yeah, you ought to be, because people say all kinds of things about you, to you, and, you know, concerning you to other people. They say things, but that doesn't have as much significance as what you say. Jesus didn't say, you'll have whatever other people say. Jesus made the statement to a number of people in the Bible and in his earthly ministry. He said to people, according to your faith, be it unto you. Be it unto you according as you have believed. He said it in different ways at different times. But he didn't say what other people say has as much significance. Now, if you believe it and begin to say it, now it's got significance. Amen. So notice here, Mark 11:23, you'll not have whatever the devil says, but what you say. Amen. Why? Because your words have authority. What the devil says doesn't have as much authority as what you say. Now let me flip that on the other side. Even if God said something, it doesn't have much authority in your life until you say it. God said every person on the earth has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. But they have not claimed it and said it, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him with their mouth. And so even though God did that for them, that it has no significance in their life because they haven't said it. Did you ever think about it? People get saved by believing and speaking words. Believing and speaking the words that God did concerning what God did in Christ. And that's the truth about everything in every one of our lives. Not just salvation. So really, authority means the ability to determine the outcome or direction of different areas of your life. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that a thought? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A person in authority has the ability to determine direction.
That's right.
Your boss at the work, he has the ability to determine direction in that company. If you're not in authority, you don't have that authority or the ability to determine direction. You can make suggestions, but you can't determine it. Right? And so authority means the ability to determine direction. I don't know why I never have enough money. I do. You just told us. You just said, I never have enough money. And I'm sure that's probably not the first time you said that. Amen. And your authority was released through words. Even though God provided something, your words, which are higher authority, the highest authority in your life is your words. Now, God wants you to give his words authority, but you do that by believing them and receiving them and speaking them. Amen. And acting like they're true. And so your authority is released through your words, the words that you say. Here's what authority looks like. It's when things don't go, authority means things don't go the way Satan, through yakety yak yak doubt and unbelief to your mind, is trying to push them. They don't go the way Satan is trying to push them because you didn't believe and speak his words. Now, you're looking at me thinking this is good teaching, but apply it to your life. Every day, in fact, sometimes several times an hour, some thought, some suggestion, some threat, some kind of doubt, some kind of fear, some kind of something came to you and you had to decide, am I going to believe this or and say this, or am I going to believe what God's word says? Remember Isaiah 53, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? And so authority looks like that. It looks like whatever Satan is trying to push a certain way doesn't go that way because you don't believe his words or speak his words. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why Jairus, remember Jesus was going to Jairus' house and the report came, trouble not the master, your daughter's dead. Remember that?
Yes.
And remember, Jesus, he didn't let that stand for a second. He turned, the Bible said immediately. He turned and said to Jairus, fear not. Believe only. Fear not, believe only. And your daughter will be healed. Hallelujah. What was he doing? He was trying to keep him from taking fear and speaking it. Because he had already said, come, lay your hands on her, and she'll be healed. He was trying to keep him from undoing that. You know that would have stopped Jesus in his tracks? Oh, no, he could have still done it. Well, look at Jesus' own hometown. He could there do no mighty work, and he marveled because of their unbelief. A lot of Christians think Jesus can just do, he's just sovereign, he can just do anything he wants. That's not what the Bible teaches. You have to decide if you believe the sovereignty doctrine or if you believe the message of faith. That is the difference in between you and I and others who believe God just controls all these things. Through your faith and through your authority. But if you don't give him that, then he has no authority. Well, he has it, but he can't operate it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So, it's not what God says that's significant per se, although it's significant, of course, but I'm talking about in your life. Unless you speak what he says, then it has significance. Amen. It's what has significance is what you say. Tell your neighbor it's what you say. Now go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 3. It tells us about God, something about God. And it's true, actually, about your realm of authority or where you have authority. Hebrews 11, verse number 3, Jesus, or the Bible here says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which were seen are not made with things or by things which do appear. There's so much to that verse. We don't have time to get into it. I was meditating on it today. But let me just quickly say that here what he's talking about is he framed his world. Now you look up that word framed and it means, it just basically means to put it the way he wants it. And he did it with his words. Did you get that? He put his world and actually the ages, the successive ages. Through time, he established them by speaking to somebody. He established the time of Abraham by speaking to Abraham. He established the church age by Jesus Christ, by the words of Jesus Christ. That established an age. I like something that, remember, Richard Sigmund said in his book, I don't know if you've read that for a while, but remember one time he asked an angel that was escorting him through heaven, how do you measure time here? Like, how can you tell when it's day, whether another day comes or, you know, an hour has come or gone? He said, we don't measure time in heaven in such trivial things as days and hours. We measure them in ages. Amen. And the way God set up the ages is by speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you got that or not, but God frames his world by what he said. Or by what he says. Amen. Now in your life, Mark 11:23 says, you'll have what you say. You know, people criticize this message, the message of confession. And they have a real hard, a lot of folk, even in this city, have a lot of hard time with what we're preaching. We don't want to turn them off with trying to be antagonistic about it. But I noticed that a lot of these folks still are trying to figure out why things are working for us. They criticize the message even though they see the fruit. We have family. Dear Lord, the confession of their mouth. It's a mess. And so is their life. You ought to go through Proverbs, especially start around chapter 12 and go through maybe chapter 18. Proverbs 12 through 18, all those chapters. You ought to just underline, and you can get a pencil out or a highlighter, underline every time it says something about what you say. It's amazing. You basically, and I'm paraphrasing, there's verses in there that talk about you'll be rich or poor by what you say. Right. A man will eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Isn't that an amazing thought? People thought, I thought it was all about hard work. Well, there's a lot of folks need to learn about hard work.
Yes.
But you can do all that and undo it with your mouth.
Yes. Right.
Undo it with your mouth. Hallelujah. You can find in there good relationships or bad relationships are established by what you say. Freedom and bondage is established by what you say. He said, you are snared by the words of your mouth. He said, the mouth of the upright shall deliver him. And on and on. You ought to go through those chapters. In other words, what you say in every situation of life is significant.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God needs to do something. No, you need to say something. Because God's authority to do what he wants to do already. He wants to do something. He wants to deliver. He wants to set free, so forth. But his ability to do that is based on your agreement with him. And your words are his approval. It's his permission. It's your agreement. It's his invitation to come into your life. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your words are his invitation.
Yes,
yes it is.
We can get to it. We'll get to more of that. And so God, through his words, framed his world, Mark 11:23, and many, many, many other verses in the Bible, we just quoted a few in Proverbs, says that you can frame your world with your words. What you say, so to speak, it brings it to pass.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What God or the devil says only has significance if you say it and you believe it.
Yes.
Notice that word framed.
Yes.
We ought to take a little time, spend some time on that. We'll look at that in here in a minute. But you think about a picture frame.
Yes.
There's a couple ways you could look at the word frame, or that we use the word frame. A picture frame is a square piece of wood, maybe. That has a picture in there, and it comes in certain sizes.
Right. Yeah.
And so a frame is sort of like the limit or the outside edge of that picture.
Yeah.
And he's you could say that whenever whatever you say puts limits on you. Psalm 78:14. No, 78. What is it? 78:41, I believe. Remember, it talks about they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And you read just a few verses before that. He said, they said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? That's how they limited him with their words. Your words are limiting you, and you can't create. I've said this before. You can't create 16x20 living out of a 3x5 confession. You can't create a 16x20 world by restrained 3x5 talking. Talking small, talking limited, talking, your words go out so far and they don't go far enough. Hallelujah. You know, everything God said to me, it will all come to pass. And I've got some things in faith projects right now. It looks like no way. But I've been here hundreds of times before. Hallelujah. And I just learned. Just keep on saying it. Just keep on saying it. Keep on going back to what God said this. I heard him. Faith came by hearing. He spoke this. He spoke it. And I say it. 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 And things come right up to the edge of going another direction. And then they go back and come my direction. If you haven't got good at doing that yet, you ain't been fur in faith yet. Hallelujah. Significance means consequential. In other words, there are consequences for things you say. Your words have weight. Saying things is consequential. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you didn't have authority in your life, what you say wouldn't matter. You could just spout off any old thing, and all that God wanted to come to pass would come to pass. But according to the Bible, your words set spiritual forces, spiritual laws, and even spiritual beings in motion for you. You remember Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21? He said, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. So, I mean, that's talking about God speaking his word. Well, sure, they'll hearken to his voice, but you can speak God's word. Amen. If you read Daniel, what is it, chapter number 11, chapter number 12, whatever it is, chapter 10, somewhere in there. You can do one verse. Look up one verse yourself. It talks about the angel that came and said to Daniel, "I am come for thy words." Words are significant because they release angels. We talk about binding and loosing. I don't want to bind my angels. I want to loose my angels. Hallelujah. A lot of angels on the unemployment line today. Nobody charging them with anything. Anyway, so your words carry significance because you have authority. And they set spiritual forces in the spirit realm in force. You can think of, 1 Corinthians 10:10, I believe. It talks about they complained. King James says murmured. That means complain. And were destroyed of the destroyer.
Yes.
You know how you complain? With your words. Your words. And so they spoke those words of complaint. And if nobody here has ever complained. Probably not today at all. I mean, at least not this week. They complained, and what happened? They were destroyed of the destroyer. That's talking about the forces of the power of the enemy. Well, I don't know why that happened. Well, it happened because of their words. Their words had significance. Anybody see it? When you say it, you're establishing it. Job 22:28. You decree a thing, and it'll be established unto you. Job 22:28. Decree a thing, and it'll be established to you. I love what Dr. Savelle said about this word established on Sunday night. He said the word established means that it will become a regular occurrence. Woo! It will become a regular occurrence. You decree a thing, and it'll become... You wouldn't say something that happened once has been established in your life. No, so, something that keeps happening has now become established. It's now become a new part of your life, a new way you're living, a new lifestyle you're living, because this keeps happening. Amen. Favor keeps happening. But that gets established by decreeing it. By that's another word for saying it. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. You're in authority. That's talking to your neighbor. I meant to say that to your neighbor. But say it to yourself. I am in authority. And I establish things with the words of my mouth. Amen. There's probably a few messages that get more criticized in the body of Christ at large. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud.
Thank you.
Follow the cloud.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So there's a lot of things you can put voice to. Remember? There's many voices in the world. But anything that you put voice to carries significance. That voice is trying to push you a certain way, to try to get you to agree with it, try to get you to say it. But whenever you say it, then it has significance in your life because God's given you authority. Amen? You can set things in motion in the spiritual realm. Now, go back to Hebrews 11:3 there where it talks about God framed his world. Satan will push you through certain voices to agree with certain things and begin to say it. You know, you can keep having certain suggestions come to your mind. You know, we've lived for a long time and we've always been this way. We've never had much money. We've never, you know, it just seems like we're always a little bit day late, dollar short. You know, he'll keep reminding you of things like that. And especially if you get worn down spiritually. And I know this weekend, I was busy and, you know, showing honor for Dr. Savelle and having all the meetings and so forth and much extra time put into that. After that, Monday came and I had to watch myself.
That's right.
I had to build myself back up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And thoughts would start to come to me. Boy, when those thoughts would start to come, you know, I won't even share some of the thoughts. Well, I'll share. I had the thought. I woke up this morning and I had the thought because I wasn't quite fully built back up yet. And I had the thought, maybe somebody else can preach tonight. I'll just stay home. When I heard that thought come to me, I went, uh-huh, I see where this is going. Pastor, you had that thought? Yeah, just like you had that thought. I'm tired. I'll just stay home tonight. Well, tell your neighbor, he went ahead and started meddling. But you needed it. Tell him you needed it. What's he trying to do? He's making certain voices have influence to try to get you to respond to that. Because there's a reason for it. Amen. Now, he wants to frame your world. You see that? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted, by listening to that voice, he wanted to frame your world. Set a new precedent. Amen. Hebrews 11:3. The term frame your world means to basically determine what your world looks like. And God did it with his words. So when you and I believe and speak the word of God, we're framing or determining what our world looks like. I have family that are just broke, busted, and disgusted for no other reason than that their mouth is filthy. They got a filthy mouth. Somebody said they talk about unclean things. Yeah, unbelief. Just always talking unbelief. Always talking unbelief. 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 Amen. My mama at times threatened to wash my mouth out with soap because of things I said. Mean things to my sister. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I threw rocks at my brothers, but I just spoke evil about spoke mean things about my sister. They forgave me. Amen. Because I've repented. Amen. I've changed. But amen. Praise the Lord. So God wants to frame your world, but so does the devil. He's given you words to frame your world with. God's given you words to frame your world. But Satan also is bringing words to your mind, to your thought life, and suggestions of doubt and fear and worry and so forth and so on, in order to get you to take those and frame your world. You know what I'm talking about. And when you speak those lies of the enemy, you're framing your world. You ever heard somebody say, "I got framed"? You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the word framed in our culture in that sense means somebody producing false evidence to convict somebody of something that they didn't do. They become, in the court of law, they become guilty of something they didn't even do. They got framed. That's what that word means. Anybody know what that means? Well, Satan wants to bring false evidence to you.
Yes, he does.
And frame you.
Good.
It's the truth. He'll bring all sorts of feelings, impulses, thoughts, doubts, all sorts of things to you in order to frame you. He'll make you feel like you're defeated. He'll make you look like you're defeated. The last seven times you stepped out to believe God, it didn't work. And he's going to try to frame your world. He's going to say, "That doesn't work. That faith stuff doesn't work." Well, there's a difference between it not working and you not knowing how to work it. Amen. Maybe you gave up the last seven times. I remember years ago, I had a faith project. This is way back, just first married, actually. And I had a faith project going, and I fizzled out on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just kind of gave it up.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one time, I got more quiet, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, and this was after a couple of months. I mean, probably more than a half a year. Just gave up on it. And then one day I got more quiet and the Lord spoke to me and he said, go back and pick that up. You let that drop. Anybody ever let anything drop? And he said, if you'll pick that up, he said, I was moving, but you didn't see it yet. So you walked by, you just turned from faith to sight. And so I picked it up and it wasn't like 5 days. Boom. I was that close to that coming to pass. But I dropped it. I was framed. False evidence presented to my senses told me it's not working. You ever been framed? Tell your neighbor, you don't want to be framed. Amen. So notice how you get framed. Here is Isaiah 54:17. Look at Isaiah 54:17. This is good preaching, whether you know it or not. Isaiah 54, chapter 54, verse number 17. Notice what it says. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That means that this is our inheritance. Yes. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Aren't you glad it's not dependent on our righteousness? What is our blessing? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And notice what these weapons, what category these weapons are. And every tongue. Every tongue. The weapons are words. Spoken against God's words to us. That's a weapon. It's a weapon formed against us. Amen. Now, how many of you know words spoken have no significance unless you believe it and speak it? Amen. It's only when you believe something, right or wrong, talking about good or bad, right or wrong, that you empower it in your life as a weapon.
There it is.
God has given us the weapons of our warfare. The Word of God. The Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's a weapon. But to make that weapon work for you, you have to believe it and speak it. You see Jesus coming back with the sword in his mouth in the book of Revelation. Where is it? It's in his mouth. The sword goes in your mouth. That means it's your words that you speak. He will destroy the nations with the sword in his mouth, meaning he will come back and decree. And the decree will come to pass. And they'll be defeated. And the Bible says that's the sword God gave you to put in your mouth. To decree things that'll be defeat them. Woo! But see, Satan wants to form a weapon. And what he's doing, how does he form a weapon? He forms it by suggesting it to you, getting you to believe it and speak it. He's forming a weapon. I said he's forming a weapon. And if you believe it and speak it, you empower it in your life. You make it a weapon in your life. And if it's the Satan's words, it's a weapon against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Amen. And it's when you speak those words that you're making use of that weapon. If Satan says, you never are going to have enough, you never have, you don't know how to prosper. I mean, it just never has worked for you. You're always going to be a day late and a dollar short. And then you go to speak in that. You just took a weapon against your finances. Satan formed a weapon and you use it against your finances. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So why does people, you ever had somebody, well, you might have experienced it in your own life, where a thought just kept coming to you, I'm going to, Satan will say something like, you're going to die. I mean, you feel that pain, you're going to die. And it just keeps coming. Or you're going to fail, or you know, you're not going to succeed, or you're going to go into debt, or you're going to, you know, be bankrupt, or, you know, just keeps coming. You ever had a thought just keeps coming? You know what that is? It's a weapon. I didn't say you allowed it to work, but I say he's trying to form a weapon against you. It's like Satan trying to say, I'm going to kill you. You know, people are afraid of an accident and they're going to die. That's a weapon formed against them. They ought to get a clue.
Thank you.
If that's what he wants to do, why hasn't he done it? Pastor, I've heard all this. Don't act like you've heard it. Faith doesn't come by heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Just because you heard it doesn't mean it's working for you. He's trying. Why? He keeps threatening it. Why? Big bad boy. You're so big and bad. Why? 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 Huffy puffy pants. Why? Why haven't you done it? You keep saying you're going to do it. If you're so big and bad, why don't you just do it? There's a revelation in that thought. If you think about it, the reason he hasn't done it is because he can't. If he could, he would. You can see he wants to. Why can't he? Because he hasn't gotten you to take the weapon and speak it. That's why that thought keeps coming. It's trying to get into you so that you'll take it and destroy your own life with it. Whoa, that's good preaching. It's only, remember, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Satan is always trying to form things against you to defeat you. And this is how he does it. He forms words. He brings words, suggestions, fears, doubts, all those kinds of things. Somebody said, how do I know it's Satan? If it's not faith, if it's not victory, if it's not with long life I'll satisfy thee, if it's not you always triumph in Christ, then it's a weapon against you. You can tell where the source of things are by whether they're faith or fear, love or hate, and on down the list. Amen. Hallelujah. When you believe the word and speak the word, it becomes a weapon formed against the enemy to defeat him. Ephesians 6:17 takes, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Woo! Dealing with the enemy. Hallelujah. 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 So don't accept every little suggestion that comes to your mind. Every little thought. Answer it with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. By God giving you the ability to choose whether you're going to believe the word of the devil or God, believe the word of God, God has given you the authority to determine the outcome of every situation in your life. Did you get that? By giving you the ability to choose which one you're going to believe and which one you're going to say, God's given you the ability to determine the outcome of every situation in life. You accept the doubts and suggestions of the enemy that come to your mind, you got framed. You see the way we're saying that? Remember, Satan, he's trying to frame your world, but you can frame your world with the word of God. If so, believing his words and speaking them, you've got framed. You accepted false evidence. You have to come to the reality, the word of God is true. That's true. What else? What? Anything that's not this is not true.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go under. That's not true. That's false evidence. How long have you gone without going under?
That's right.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. The devil is such a liar. And one of the things he is he's persistent. I said he's persistent, but you need to learn to outlast him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I came tonight. So if you accept those things he brings and you start talking to him, you got framed. You know what I mean by that? You allow the devil to present false evidence. And what do I mean, false evidence? You got framed by wrong thinking. He framed your thinking. He framed your believing. He framed your speaking. Amen. So, don't say, I don't know why I'm always behind financially.
Yeah.
Who said you're always behind financially?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Come on.
Well, I mean, it's just the way it always has been. Who said that is going to determine the way you always are?
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
See, what you're saying is this is the way it's always going to be.
Yeah, right.
Who said? Who said that? Who said? Where'd you get that evidence? What evidence supports that?
Thank you.
It didn't come from God. God said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse and I open the windows of heaven. There'll be not room enough to receive it. Well, I've never seen that. That doesn't matter. We're not talking about seeing. We're talking about what God said. You can change what's seen. The seen is temporal, the Bible says. Woo! The unseen is eternal. The covenant is eternal. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. So if you keep saying things like that, you got framed. And you took those words and framed the world of never having enough. Amen. The devil wants to do that in many different areas, not just the area of finances. And so... he presents these things in order to get you to accept them. A lot of times when people are, you know, we saw this and we went down to the jails a number of years down there. We would minister to the men in the jail. And most all of them, you spend a little time with them, and they all say, I got framed.
Yeah.
You worked with them.
I can tell you.
Yeah. Most all of them. I don't think the justice system is that broken. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It might not be perfect. I'm not saying there's not people in jail that shouldn't be there. I know there are. But it's not as prevalent as people say it is. What are they doing? They are shirking their responsibility in the matter. Tell your neighbor, he went ahead and started preaching right now. Amen. In that situation, whatever went down, you know what I'm talking about? They're blaming somebody else for the predicament they're in. That happens a lot of times in prison. So that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're always blaming somebody else. Blaming the devil, blaming their boss, blaming their husband, blaming their wife, blaming. My mama hit me whenever I was a child. Blaming. Always somebody. It's never your responsibility. It's always somebody else's responsibility. I am what I am because somebody else made me this way. You know what I'm talking about? I said they're shirking their responsibility. Truth is, you have more authority in your life than any of those people.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
It's true. Still, I know. Still glad you're still here tonight. You don't want to go home now, do you? We might actually get some help here before you go. You have more authority. Whatever others did to you doesn't have as much authority as what you say. We got to stop blaming everybody else. Or you just do this, or you just make me mad. Well, who said anybody can make you anything? That's your choice. We got to learn to not be victims in life. This message is not a message of victimhood.
That's right.
So, in one sense of the word, yes, word, I should say, everyone has been framed. God and the devil have both laid out a life for you and planned a life for you, but they also gave you a free will. God did, gave you free will and freedom to choose your words and actions.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. How has God framed your world? By the evidence he presents to you in his word.
Yes.
He shows you what covenant has done, what you have in Christ, what he did for you, who you are in Christ, the authority you have. And all these things, he shows us all these things, and by giving us that truth, he's basically giving us the authority to get into that. Why would he hold a carrot in front of us and keep acting like it's something available, but it never happens? No, God's not a carrot God. He shows us these things because this is available to us. It's not just available to faith preachers. It's not just available to whoever. It's available to every covenant believer. Well, I just haven't had any breaks. I haven't had any opportunities because you keep saying that. Your words hold those things away from you. Statistics prove that every person has had at least one chance to be a millionaire. At least. Many times more than a millionaire. Well, I don't know why it hadn't come by me yet, because of your word. It might have come by and your words kept you from seeing it. Well, that looks like work. Well, welcome to following the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's how God has framed your world. The devil frames you by sending false evidence. By the way, thy word is truth. If he said, this is yours in the covenant, that's the truth. You can live in that till you go to be with Jesus. Praise God. But the devil will frame your world by sending you false evidence. Or send people to plant false evidence. You know, you need to guard your heart. The Bible said, guard your heart. What people around you say or what people said when you were growing up, that doesn't make it true.
That's right.
A lot of people say a lot of things that aren't true. You decide whether you're going to believe that or not.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the reasons people don't like the message of faith is because it puts responsibility on them. They just want it to be all God and his sovereignty doing all these things. Well, in his faithfulness to his nature and to his word, he has sovereignly made a plan.
Yes,
but Him making the plan doesn't equal it coming to pass in our lives. We have, there's a Godward side and a manward side to everything. Why is that? Because we are in authority in our lives. Is this getting clear? So when you begin to say something, it reveals who you've chosen to believe. Amen. How many of you know we haven't got this just because we heard it? I still catch myself getting ready to say something. No. Not going to say that. I'm not going to set that in motion. I'm not going to establish that in my life. Remember what the Lord said to me? People, whatever people think. I don't care what people think anymore. There's always people thinking something. No matter if I do this or do that, somebody has an opinion about it. So I just might as well do what God told me to do. But years ago, I said, I told my wife, I don't even think I want an aircraft in our, you know, for the ministry. Remember the Lord said to me, don't start setting that in motion now. That was big for me. That's what happens when we start saying things. It starts setting it in motion. Spiritual laws, spiritual forces go into motion. And so the devil frames people by sending them false evidence, and then they say what he said, and they end up in the slammer of bondage and live like a bound man when Jesus made them free. Oh, my goodness. Neither what God has prepared for you or what the devil has endeavored to hold you in, neither of those things really matter until you choose to say something. Amen.
Amen.
Which frame? See, everybody, God's framing you and the devil's framing you. You just choose which frame you want. When I say frame, God's word is true, and that'll frame your world. It's not false. Praise the Lord. You have to decide. Tell your neighbor, you got to decide. Well, I've been saying it, and nothing's happening. Notice what you just said. See, that tells what you believe. You've been saying it, but you haven't been believing what you've been saying. He said what you say will come to pass if you don't doubt. Your words reveal doubt.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, God's been teaching the body of Christ faith for decades to get them ready for what's ahead. Some stuff is starting to shake. And I am looking for some miracles. Because I've been setting some things in motion. I didn't wait till I needed the faith to get it. I've been operating in this and the momentum of this, and it's building and building and building, and it will keep on rolling in the middle of recession, in the middle of whatever. I don't have what the government says. I have what I say. I don't have what the news says. I have what I say. Everybody back in 2008 went into a recession. I didn't join the recession. I'm not joining anything else that's coming. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You got to decide. Tell your neighbor, you got to decide. Well, if you're going to just let what God says be true or join the crowd. No. So your job is not let false evidence frame you. And you could do that by consulting constantly and washing yourself constantly in the water of the Word. Just go back to it regularly. It doesn't take long for thinking to start to slip. If you get out of the Word, you get back in the Word and you're like, I got to correct that again. Doesn't take long. It's just an issue. It's not really always the devil. It's just a matter of living in the natural rather than living in the spirit. Amen. Now, we could take more time, and we're going to close this down here. But go to Matthew 9:29. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's to the blind man. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, be it unto you. Every believer has been given the measure of faith. All men don't have faith, but believers do. When they got born again, they got the measure of faith. There's a lot of things in the Bible that show people of faith, people in the world having one experience, and people of faith having a completely different experience. And it's basically this truth: according to your faith, be it unto you. Not according to God's will. God wills for all men to be saved. He wills for all men to be healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Forgiveth all thy iniquities. Healeth all thy diseases. Your diseases are just as much covered as your sins.
All right. Amen.
all iniquities, all diseases. They're all covered. Amen. But the determining factor is not what God has done. The determining factor is what man believes and receives and says. Years ago, there was a controversy about the hundredfold return. I guess still maybe, you know, hundredfold return. Somebody said, well, is that biblical? You don't even understand God. God, it's not a matter of what God can do. It's according to what you can receive. What can a man receive? And a lot of people have to be honest. They're not in that level. So don't even argue about it. Just find out where you are and believe where you are. But listen to this translation. This is the Rue translation. Maybe one you haven't heard. R-I-E-U. Rue translation. It says, your reward shall be equal to your faith. Uh-oh. So everything in life is equal to what you believe for. What you say. Amen. You've been around for a few years, some of you. And you heard us, maybe some of you, from way back when we first started saying, somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money order to the general fund, $10,000. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
It happened. Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money order, $25,000. It happened.
Yes.
Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, money order, $50,000. It happened.
Yes.
Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money order into the general fund, $100,000. It happened.
Yes, sir.
Now we're saying somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money order into the general fund, $250,000. So you think that'll happen?
Yes, sir.
According to your faith, be it unto you. Oh, I wish I'd get that work for me. Don't work by wishing. Doesn't work by wishing. Works by doing it. So what he's telling us here, look at this. Your reward shall be equal to your faith. He's telling us that you and I measure the power and blessing to us.
Amen.
The blessing of God according to our faith. Well, God can do a lot of things. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't mean you can believe for it all. It'll be according to your faith. Amen. Listen to the actual Greek. According to, in the actual Greek, means down upon. Down upon your faith. Down upon your faith. What does that mean? I think of an airplane landing when I think of that, or the space shuttle lands. Comes down out of space, airplane down out of the sky. It lands. It has to have a place to land. It has to have a prepared place. It can't just land anywhere. Has to have an airstrip. And then if you got a bigger plane, you have to have a longer airstrip. Isn't that right? Down upon your faith. In other words, the power of God, the blessing that you want, has to have something to land on. Does that make any sense? Just like an airplane can't land anywhere, the blessing of God can't land anywhere. The power to bring it to pass just can't land anywhere. It has to land on a prepared place. Amen. See, when you develop faith for one of God's blessings, you are preparing its landing pad. You're preparing a place for it to come on down. It's available to all, but it can't land everywhere. Does that make any sense? That's what causes those blessings to manifest. No man just accidentally receives from God. He prepared to receive from God. Okay, let's wrap this up. Y'all still glad you came?
Yes.
Let's talk about these things in the Bible. Here's something just a lot of folks don't like, but it's still in there anyhow. We see it all through the Bible. We see people who received right in the middle of others being destroyed. Isn't that an interesting thought? Let's go through some of them. You want to go through some of them? How many of you remember the story of Rahab? Everybody else was destroyed and she was spared. The New Testament tells us why. Through faith, Rahab. It was because of her faith. How many of you remember the children of Israel in Egypt? They were in a land called Goshen. I guess you might call it a suburb. They're in the Goshen suburb. That's my residence too, by the way. Where do you live? Goshen?
Yeah.
whatever's going around in Egypt, it's not affecting me. Just like the Israelites didn't have darkness, they didn't have flies, they didn't have frogs, all those things. Woo! That's because of their faith. What do you mean? Whenever God told them to remember, they put blood on the doorpost whenever the death angel went through, that was their faith. It says through, in the New Testament, it says through faith, Israel was spared of that. Can you say amen? And so the Bible says in Psalm 91, 7 and 8, we're closing with this. I mean, with just a few of these things about people being spared in the midst of all kinds of stuff. The more you go into the future, the more you're going to need this. But Psalm 91, verse 7 and 8, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it'll not shall come nigh thee. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Amen.
Woo! You're going to see a lot of stuff, but none of it touch you. None of it touch us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Why? Not because, oh, we're special. No, because of faith. Because of faith. That's the whole story. If you read the whole Psalm 91, it's talking about faith. Hallelujah. So what happens in the world, what happens to whatever, our culture around us, whatever, that doesn't belong to us. It won't happen to us. And he's telling us, somebody said, are you saying God's a respecter of persons? No. He respects faith. That's what he honors. He's not a respecter of persons. Anybody can have faith. Well, that's God being partial. No, that's God saying what will deliver you, and some people receive it, some people don't. You know what I'm talking about? You know, somebody can be in dire straits financially, and you offer them the money, and they refuse it. There are people that won't accept things. Because if I didn't earn it, if I didn't work hard to get it, then I'm just not going to accept it. Okay, hard head. Struggle for yourself then. Come on, tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Luke 5, 17 through 25 talks about one man was healed and the rest weren't. Man let down through the roof was healed and none of the rest of them were. When he saw, and here's why, when he saw his faith, saw their faith, there was some people believing God with him. Hallelujah. Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not. New Testament tells us why. Through faith. Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice. Why are some delivered and not? Some not. Why was Noah delivered in the boat and the rest of the world perished? We just talked about Rahab. Why did Israel get through the Red Sea and the world was, Egypt was the type of the world. The world was destroyed in it. There's a lot of folks don't like what I'm preaching right now. Well, you're saying God's partial. No, I'm saying he honors faith. And you can have faith. And you better learn to have some faith in this day. Hallelujah. So the three Hebrew children were spared of the burning fiery furnace. And the men that threw them in were destroyed. Through faith. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Hallelujah. What about Moses, who lived as a child when all the other male babies of his generation died? Well, that was a government decree. What does that have to do with... Anyway, I'll get off of that one. Why were some plagues in Egypt, people in Egypt plagued, but in Goshen they weren't? There's only one reason for all these things, and that's their faith. People want to lay the responsibility of all these things off on God. If God does it, we'll be spared. If he doesn't, then we're going under. That's not the way you're supposed to talk. The children, those three Hebrew children, they said, God will deliver us. Daniel said, God will deliver me. Whoo, glory. That's bold. I said, that's bold. You're responsible for the outcome of your life. Well, I thought it was God, Pastor. He has a part. Don't misunderstand me. He's waiting by to do what you can't do. Don't misunderstand me. But if you don't give him a landing pad, it's a little like somebody bringing something, a UPS man or somebody bringing something to your front door. Grace has brought everything you need right to your porch.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
My mother-in-law is getting ready to move be with us. And Pastor Debbie's been on Amazon, all kinds of places. getting stuff, a refrigerator for up there, just doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm getting boxes every day. In fact, yesterday I was thinking two or three deliveries. Amen. But they don't bring it any farther than my front door. They always put it on the front porch, knock and leave. What if I sat inside and cried because I didn't have it? See, how does it get into my life? Through the open door. How's God's things get into my life? Through the open door of faith. Amen. Grace has brought everything and set it on your front porch. But that's as far as he goes. That's why he said, and he's actually talking to Christians. You might not think of it, but read it again. He's talking to Christians. I stand at the door and knock. Well, we use that for sinners, and it's appropriate to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But he's talking to Christians.
Yes,
sir. Woo!
Graciousness, or grace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is knocking, trying to get into Christians' lives. Stand with me to your feet. Praise be to God. According to, those words are huge. According to your faith, be it unto you. So that's talking about opening the door to what God longs to do for every man. He is no respecter of persons. He'll do it for anybody, any nation, anywhere. I'm actually hearing some reports of protection in Ukraine right now. People, believers over there being protected. Glory! That would fulfill 1,000 on thy right hand, 10,000 on thy left. It will not come nigh thee. Well, is God just like them more than other people? No, he honors faith. He honors faith. Isn't that good? Faith is why it will happen. Faith is when it will happen. Actually, rather than down upon, some places in the New Testament, down upon, I mean, according to, is translated at the same time or during that time. So, according to means at the same time as you have faith or you use your faith. When's it going to happen? When you release your faith? So it's to who it's going to... See, faith determines who it's going to happen for, why it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, why is it going to happen in your life and not somebody else's life? Well, we just read all those people's stories. Why did Rahab get delivered whenever nobody else did? This is what has to be continually preached. Because these things slip. We've had testimonies of people spared from accidents. I just was reminded, I think they're on vacation or on a trip, but on Sunday they came to me afterwards. I was preaching on acceleration. Remember that? And the Viezes came to me, Juan and Susanna Viez. They came to me and they said, Pastor, when you said that about speeding things up, that reminds us when their youngest daughter was still in the womb. They did a, however they scan or however they check the baby out, and they noticed that the baby only had one kidney. I forget how many months old it was at the time. And 3 or 4 months. And they could see one kidney, but the other one wasn't there. And so they released their faith. I don't know how long was it. They went back a month or two later. Wasn't very long. They went back and the doctors checked again. And there's two kidneys the exact same size. Well, does God just do that for one and not others? He'll do that for anybody. But it didn't happen until they released their faith. Glory.
Glory.
Woo.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No wonder Smith Wigglesworth says, seems like God will jump over a million people to get to one person believing God. He's a respecter of faith. He honors faith. You know why? Because he honors what he said. He honors what he said. Hallelujah.